In this video, we're going to talk about the shadow side, the dark side of codependency. Now, perhaps you've heard of codependency in a magazine, such as Good Housekeeping or Family Circle, or something popular by, well, what you saw on Oprah the other day, or maybe another talk show host, how codependency is such a problem. Well, to tell you the truth, it's real. And yes, it is a problem for all of us. And as we've looked at the other dark sides, control, narcissism, and also paranoia, passive-aggressive, we now look at codependency because this is where, in contrast to the control dark side, we now see how we can switch roles. At first, for example, we feel we need to control everybody and everything around us, if that becomes a problem. But if you flip it, we then switch roles and we become the object of someone who is dealing with control issues as the codependent. Now, what is codependency? What is codependency? I have a couple handouts and I place these online as PDF files that are there. And I'd like to go over them here briefly and just read them to you as far as what is codependency. First, codependency has to do with how my good feelings about who I am stem from being loved by you. Or my good feelings about who I am stem from receiving approval from you. Or your struggle affects my serenity. My mental attention focuses on solving your problems or relieving your pain. Or my mental attention is focused on pleasing you, protecting you. And my self-esteem is bolstered by relieving your pain. I feel better when I solve your problems and not my own problems. Or my own hobbies and interests are put aside. My time is spent sharing your interests and hobbies. Or your clothing and your personal appearance are dictated by my desires as I feel you are a reflection of me. Or your behavior is dictated by my desires as I feel you are a reflection of me. I am not aware of how I feel. I am aware of how you feel. I'm not aware of what I want. I ask what you want. I'm not aware. I assume. The dreams I have for my future are linked to you. My fear of rejection determines what I say or do, and my fear of your anger determines what I say or what I do. I use giving as a way of feeling safe in our relationship. My social circle diminishes as I involve myself with you. I put my values aside in order to connect with you. I value your opinion and way of doing things more than my own. And finally, the quality of my life is in direct relation to the quality of yours. As we say in recovery, and this handout, by the way, is from the Celebrate Recovery resource that we have online, and you can download it, put it in your toolbox, have it available for yourself as you do ministry with others, but also especially looking at yourself. How am I doing? I often look at this checklist and say, yeah, how is my mental attention focused on pleasing others? Or am I aware of how I feel? How am I doing today? Because this is what we call in recovery stinking thinking. We call it stinking thinking because, quite honestly, it takes us into very unhealthy patterns in relationships with others, whether they are in authority over us, or in our marriage relationships, or in our collegial relationships, colleagues at work, or even people at the deli counter at our local grocery store. Codependency comes in many, many forms. Now, coming back to the dark side of codependency, or how codependency is a dark side, because as we look back at family of origin issues, what happened with mom and dad and family and so on, and how perhaps their sense of needing control over me as a child may have created an unhealthy pattern of behavior and dependency on them, and then transferred to others. So what are the causes? What are the causes of the codependent dark side? First, as I said, family of origin, dependency issues. Mom says, go to your room and don't come out of there until I say so. You probably had that before. Or you have dad say, if you don't do what I tell you to do, you won't amount to anything. You need to do things based on the schedule. You're out of line. You shouldn't feel that way. Don't show your emotions. You're talking to your friends again? Go to your room. We'll talk tomorrow morning. Or the classic, wait till your father comes home. Now, sometimes those situations are expected because we can be pretty naughty as kids. But other times, that takes us into the domain of how our families can go too far. And they don't step back to understand who we are, made in God's image. And then we think that we've done so wrong that there's a debt we have to pay back as an adult. Dependency. Family of origin. Also, rigid, legalistic, or oppressive family systems. And I alluded to this in my examples just now. But then this goes into the area of acute abuse. Abuse that is uncalled for, unwarranted, and really where a child needs to be removed from the home. Things of that nature. Now, the previous video with Pastor Greg, who we have in this video today as well, he discussed his story about being sexually abused. And that, my friends, illustrates how that is way too far. It is criminal. It is wrong. And God shows us how to give life, as we read Scripture, where we see that these behaviors are not what God wants. And we need to be to also, too, with being rigid or legalistic. Those other examples, too, of how if you're not at the dinner table by 5 p.m. and it's 5:01, that you don't eat. Or other things where in church you have to sit a certain way. You ever been there? I have. Or you get pinched in the pew. Stop it. Look straight ahead. Don't look to your left or to your right. Maybe that's your church tradition. Or some of you from more Pentecostal traditions are saying, I can't relate to that at all. But we look at how our families can go into that rigid or legalistic or oppressive directions. Another cause, the need to keep the peace. Mom and dad are fighting. Don't know why. Or everything around you is a war zone because of the environment that you are living in. Or at school, it doesn't seem to be order. And here in America, we hear about these shootings in high schools and other places, and we think, what is this world coming to? Peace. And we need to keep the peace. That's up to us. When really, it's in God's hands. Codependency. Then we have characteristics. Characteristics of codependency. First, the inability to say no. Now, I will say, for example, I am a person who struggles with codependency. I feel that I need to say yes to many, many things and also please many, many people. Realistically, and I've been taught all my life that I can't. It's not realistic. But there's still that sense, that struggle, that I have to say yes. Otherwise, what will they think? And we always have to say, who is the they that says? you are not measuring up. Because right in that thinking is also the whole idea that we fall short if I don't say yes. So the inability to say no is a problem. Because we can say no, and we should say no to many things, as well as say yes to many things too. We need balance. Also, the obsessive fear of disappointing others. Again, related to the inability of saying no. And the problem of saying yes too much. And the appearance of benevolence. Appearing that I'm kind to other people all the time. That I need to be the savior, perhaps, of someone else's pain or chaos. And repressed anger and hostility. I still go back to that example of where the dad will say to the son or the daughter, don't express your feelings. And especially between a father and son. If you express your feelings, son, you're a sissy. Or you're not strong. Or you don't measure up. Or you amount to nothing. All lies. All lies. However, we know that that does occur in many a family system. And we know that even though that child, as he or she grows up, may not show the emotion based on the conditioning by the dad or by the mom or both parents, as well as teachers and the culture that he or she is growing up in, there's anger, there's hostility, there's things that need to come out, but they're not allowed to. Hence codependency, because we're dependent on someone else's serenity, someone else's agenda, as opposed to the agenda God has for you and me. Challenges. As we face our codependent issues, we need to learn to say no. We need to resist false guilt. Friends, I can't tell you enough how I grew up with the issue of false guilt. Especially when I would displease my mother. My mother is a strong personality. And yeah, she was figuring things out as I was the only child for the first 7.5 years of my life, and then my sister was born, and that changed everything. And I always felt guilty if I didn't do things quite to the level or the measure that she had in mind. Or a teacher, again. And I grew up in a culture in my childhood where there were many who projected on me and other students expectations that seemed to be a bit unrealistic. High standards? No problem with those. When we are in school and we need to learn and have excellence, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the delivery of expectations, the behavior of those who are over us or those who we relate to. And false guilt can be a challenge to deal with and on into our adult years. So refusing responsibility for feelings of others is another challenge. Someone else's chaos is not my emergency. Because if someone else is creating their emergency, that's not my chaos. It is in God's hands, because God has everything in His hands. And with God, we place other people into His hands. Are there support systems? Is there the church? Absolutely. It's part of God's plan. Do we have police? Do we have nurses? And do we have doctors? Absolutely. So we need to remember that it's not up to us all the time. Now, sometimes we are obligated with our brother and sister to carry each other's burdens, as the Scripture says. But we also need to be mindful that we are not always in the position to fix people. And we can't fix people. And we shouldn't fix people. The minute we try to fix someone else's issues, or of course, to feel always feel responsible for others' feelings, that's the moment we go down into a very dark path. A path where we do ourselves in, emotionally and spiritually. Where we begin to negate ourselves. Or we help others at our own expense. And then we have nothing left to give. So we need to have balance here as far as the codependent dark side. And also, we have to deal with the challenge of living with unresolved conflict. We talked about that life debt, the debt we know we can't pay back, coming out of family of origin, and how we need to depend on God to take care of that. And where we have that unresolved conflict placed into God's hands in the mode of forgiving ourselves, forgiving others, as well as to say, I have to let go and let God heal, restore. God's bigger than the conflict. So as human beings, as followers of Jesus, we then have opportunity to rise above codependent patterns. The patterns I just read at the beginning of this session. And to gain more insight, I invited Pastor Greg to join us another time. Pastor Greg, welcome back.
Hey, Mark.
And
thanks for having me again.
Of course, it's fantastic to learn from you. And last session on compulsivity and control issues, that your story was compelling. And I think God will use that story in a big way everywhere, as this course and all the courses with CLI are all over the world. And today we talk about codependency, and I know that you mentioned sexual abuse, you talked about your crack addiction, your family of origin that just kind of shoved you to the side, and also, you know, even turned a blind eye to the sexual abuse. I know that you've shared that with me too. But as I read the codependency statements, what are some thoughts? And again, you're a recovery coach and you're dealing with many individuals who are struggling with the same issues, and we all do. What are some reflections you have on codependency as you look back at your own journey with codependency?
Self-empowerment. What we know clinically as codependency, there's another term, other worth. That is, you know, giving your sense of value and purpose to another, you know, being dependent upon someone who's dependent on something else, which means that you're out of touch with yourself. So that was important for me in my journey of recovery to, as we used the term in our previous session, love the skin you're in. Okay, and by loving the skin you're in, and that's what its flaws and that's what its defects, but it's yours. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can do that really is through the eyes of the Lord, in Scripture, where it mm-hmm. says that one that we, you could say, overuse, mm-hmm. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm-hmm. Okay, now because of my desire to be whole, and to be well, I wanted to explore that. Desire is a very powerful emotion because we let nothing and no one interfere, stop, or hinder our desires. Okay, that's something that, as opposed to need to do. Mm-hmm. Need to do, we're more resistant and more rebellious and defiant. But mm-hmm. the things that we want to do, we're innovative and creative and ingenious about getting them done. So I wanted to know who I am as well as whose I am. Yeah. And so from that, not that I wanted to be, you know, standoffish, mm-hmm. but embracing mm-hmm. of that. I know that I have God has a purpose for me and I have a purpose in Him.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And so the one thing I had to be aware of is my codependency tendencies. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas I needed someone else to give me or confer value, mm-hmm. worth, importance, and significance to me, mm-hmm. okay? Because it made me, if I continued in that trend, then it made me vulnerable, mm-hmm. to abuses, different forms of abuse or continuation of the abuses that I want so desperately desire to escape from in the past. Mm-hmm. And so through relationship with him and is to be, you know, self-important, empowering, but not independent. Can I use a term like interdependence? You know, I am independent of other people where I can say I love the skin I'm in, I walk in the skin I am, but I have an interdependence with God because I know I can't make it in this world, mm-hmm. or desire to make it in this world, mm-hmm. without him, mm-hmm. you know. And so in because of the work that he is continually doing in my life, I believe it's lifelong. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's not an event. It's a process. It's an experience. You know.
Certainly. Well, and I know you did some prison time.
Oh yeah.
And in prison, those 3 years.
Yes.
Comment on how these challenges, and of course, the characteristics of codependency. What you know in the prison culture? Ooh. How was that played
prison
out?
Prison culture is very challenging. It's because, you know, it's almost as though codependency is promoted.
Yeah.
You know, and you really have to work hard not to buy into it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the crabs in the barrel, you know, we're all in here together, we desperately want to get out, but we don't want to get out at somebody else's expense. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, if a hurt and pain and wrongdoing got me in, mm-hmm. it's not going to be what I use to get out. Mm-hmm. You know, so that really gave me an opportunity, especially prison was like, ooh, the stark look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was beyond what other people had done, places and things. It was about my choices or lack thereof, mm-hmm. that resulted in its consequence. And there, because of the shock, mm-hmm. of being incarcerated, mm-hmm. you know, that really I've done this to my life, and said I'm going to have to meaningfully do something different, you know. And first it came with self-examination,
okay.
you know, self-examination. And then I know it sounds cliche, but it does work when you talk about 12 steps. First step is making that admission. I had to admit that I was powerless to my not only addiction, but my own behavior. And my life had become unmanageable. You know, so it was not looking about, you know, what someone else did and when they did it, but it was like looking at me because this is the reality I'm in, and I don't want to continue to be in this. You know, there's one thing about being incarcerated, you know, physically, but then it's being emotionally and spiritually incarcerated. You know,
okay.
So you know, I resisted those trappings and seductions of the prison environment. You know, you got to get along, be along, or whatever adage that they use. Mm-hmm. It's just that I don't want to be here. I'm not buying into this, but I'm going to salvage this experience. I'm going to use it as a learning and a stepping tool, you know, stepping stone, learning tool, what have you, mm-hmm. to improve myself. You know, and the one thing is that, you know, of being empowered through the Word of God, that I don't have to be what these other people are or doing what they're to do, but to work on me, you know. And so that's where I became really attuned and acutely aware of the traps of codependency. I had to pick a book, man, and start reading and learning for myself because I don't want to repeat this. You know, and it's not like I'm being motivated, Mark, by the darkness, but by the light. It's not I'm running from not wanting to be incarcerated again, even though I don't want to, but I'm running to light, fresh opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be free, to be me, you know, as what is outlined in Scripture, you know. And that's why I challenge anyone today, yeah, we can walk you through 12 steps and whatnot, but to really work them, mm-hmm. you have to walk with Christ in them, because all they are just man's version of trying to reach God. Mm-hmm. But then Christ is God's provision of reaching man. Yeah.
Right, and I think what you're so well describing is how dependency on Christ is appropriate. Dependency in Christ is what we ought, where we ought to be.
Yeah.
And the Scripture says, be in step with the Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Total sync with the Spirit, as we say in technical, in techie terms, as we, you know, say in terms. You know, this guy's a techie guy. I mean, he runs our Facebook page for community recovery, and also he runs our website, and it keeps going. And so I thank God for your gifts, and because then that we work in team. Ah, working in team means interdependence. And so, well, you talk about in terms of relationships, yeah. being in the prison, yeah. how that force, because there's a lot of controlling factors in the prison system, in the prison experience, mm-hmm. as an incarcerated person,
yeah.
where you're forced to be, well, under the control, for example, other domineering prisoners,
yeah.
and they try to put you in the corner mm-hmm. to be codependent then on them,
yes.
where their agenda is what you will then be.
Yes.
And what you just said now was to become free,
yes.
where then you become all Christ has created you to be. Mm-hmm. Now, it brings us back to the whole thing of saying no, of releasing the false guilt, of forgiving others for you, not for them, to be set free so that in Christ we are free indeed. The Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Yeah. John chapter 5. And so, God brings us into these opportunities to be set free through the power of Christ, the transformation through Christ, and you're saying, boy, it sounds a lot like sanctification. It sounds a lot like the restorative process that God outlined in Scripture. Absolutely, that is recovery. Recovery is restoration. Restoration is recovery.
Yeah.
And how healthy relationships start with our relationship with God. And then as God transforms us to become like Christ, but also in the skin that we're in, and how we become free to be me in the way Christ has meant for me to be. And that I'm not Greg, and Greg is not me, and vice versa. But I am created in the image of God, so I can be who I'm meant to be. So my serenity, my thinking, my pattern of life is not dependent on Greg's pattern or anybody else's. I'm dependent completely on a risen Savior Jesus. And when He tells me to be, and Galatians 5 speaks to this again too, to be free, therefore to yield the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. That's huge. We looked at control as a shadow side. And now we look at being codependency as a shadow side. And what happens with codependency is that based upon this list, my behavior is dictated by my desires, as I feel your reflection of me, that indirectly can become a form of control as well. Both ways. We just change roles in relationships. And so we need to yield everything over to the control of the Holy Spirit so that we can have self-control. And as Paul says, against such things there is no law. Nothing can take that away. And so, friends, we invite you to dig deep in the Scriptures, dig deep with examining your relationships with those who are in authority over you, as well as those who you work with and those who you minister to. Because it's quite easy, for example, as you minister to people, and Pastor Greg and I have ministered to many people, and as a recovery coach, as pastor, as teacher, it can become unhealthy quickly.
Yeah.
In trying to help others, because we feel we need to fix them. No, God does the fixing.
Amen.
And that's a big part of the shadow side. And God gives you victory over that, keeps things in check, because we keep struggling with this all of our lives. God will help you to be a better servant of Him, of Christ, and a better helper to others. Thanks for watching, and we look forward to the next tape when we talk about another dark side.